words right on time. Huh? That's not a sound effect. No, that's real. You know, birds, today we have a, well, we have some science and nature things. Yeah, so pretty interesting stuff. Things in the natural world, you know. I know, we're going to have to be a little bit grown up. A little bit serious. Okay? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to do that?
For the offering, yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's, yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling, yeah, 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 yeah. Now, Andy, did you hear about this one?
Rapid Eye Movement, the REM band. It's called Man on the Moon. You know, it's an interesting irony. I hadn't really intended that, since we're going to talk about science and nature and things like that today. A song about what you can fake. So, all right. Seven after the hour, it's Pirate Radio from Chicago on Bleep.network. You know what? On this day, I always do these, this day in history, 5 years ago today, I was in the Grand Canyon. In fact, I'm going to play something behind me here. This is the Grand Canyon Suite by Ferde Groffet coming up behind me. Yeah, was it last week? Me and my daughter Smiley were talking about the road trip that we were on 5 years ago. And on this day, we were there, Grand Canyon. I'll let this play a little bit. This is a suite, Groffet, G-R-O-F-E. He was alive when I was born. This is the part about, this is called Sunrise. There you go. All right. I thought I'd let you down easy this morning. It's Thursday in the real world here. I'm afraid the headlines are not going to change much. The U.S. hit a new death toll record yesterday. In Washington, COVID-19 relief deal delayed, with Pelosi and McConnell both holding back. That's according to Bloomberg. This is pretty big. I'm going to hit this in a second for us. USA Today, letting us know that Pfizer's vaccine is going to go on trial today. This could be it. We could have the vaccine going to people pretty soon here. So that's going on. What else? We're going to hit Alfred Nobel today. I don't mean literally. I should probably put that in a slightly different context. He actually passed away on this day, and Nobel did, which got me thinking about the Nobel Prize, Nobel Peace Prize, and Nobels and stuff like that. So we'll get into that today. And let's see here. I had something really interesting. I'm going to make this into Captain Kangaroo. You watch that? I want you to see me physically attempt to reach things. I don't know what we're going to do if we go on video here. This is going to be a very, very difficult moment here. This is from USA Today. I thought this was pretty cool. I don't know if my sister, the teacher's listening to this. Anyway, at the end of a math lesson that Diane Moon taught virtually earlier this month, the middle school teacher, she's up here in Illinois, had star-shaped stickers covering her face. It was all part of an effort by Moon and other teachers across the country to keep their students engaged as remote learning continues as the pandemic worsens here in the United States. So, you know, a sticker, no, not like a little sticker, like maybe the size of a quarter. Okay. Here, I'll simulate. There you go. I stuck one. It's been really difficult, said Moon. She's in her sixth year of teaching in Prospect Heights, Illinois. Not so far from where I am right now. She said, trying to teach her students through computer screens. So sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to myself or teaching to a blank screen. And it's just slower because I have to wait for students to respond. So that struggle to engage her students is why Moon says she has no hesitation when a colleague showed her a TikTok video in which a teacher put a sticker on her face each time a new student spoke out during class. That's right. All right. I put some competition into it because I made it face off between my three core classes, she said. I told them that every time somebody new participated, I would put a new sticker on, and we'll see each class has the most. All right, you can imagine this. Anyway, I've seen this, some of this stuff. You can check it out. These teachers with stickers all over their face. Good on you. Good on you. I like that. I like that. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. It's 12 after the hour. It's bleep.network. The sun's up in the Grand Canyon. All right. And right on time. USA Today also, a committee crucial for clearing a COVID-19 vaccine will hold an all-day meeting today. And depending on how that vote goes, the nation's first doses could ship as early as what? Tomorrow. It's true, the external expert committee will review data from Pfizer and a German startup BioNTech on their vaccine, which is called, oh, this is a musical name. You said what? It was going to be called Lavoris? No. It's called BNT162B2. It's going to be hard to get a jingle for that. BioNTech. All right, leave the marketing for later. By day's end, the committee is going to vote whether the U.S. Food and Drug Administration should authorize the country's first COVID vaccine. The companies are requesting an emergency use authorization. Wait, this is not news. We've known about this. They've compiled as much short-term safety and effectiveness data as is typical with any vaccine. The process has been compressed, to say the very least, but coroners say the FDA have not been cut. If the independent vaccines and related, this is all initial chapter. If the Independent Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee recommends that authorization, the FDA is expected to sign off on the vaccine as soon as late today. Very inconsistent is another headline that zips through here. That is related to the two allergic reactions to the vaccine in the UK. I think that was two days ago. They had a couple of allergic reactions. When we've talked to Dr. Paul about all these things, he keeps making the point that there are side effects with everything, right? What do you take? You take too much aspirin, you get a stomach thing, or you can't take this or that. There are side effects with every drug, and we simply don't know what the side effects are with any of these things, really, at this point, across the large number of people that we're going to be shooting in the arm. So, he lost his place. Yes, I did. Another committee convened by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is going to meet tomorrow and Sunday to officially determine who should receive the first doses. I don't know. People named Bob. No, it's going to be something other than people, healthcare workers and, older folks, online people. We could do a whole hour of conventional talk radio with people calling up and arguing about that. I don't think it makes any difference. I think we're going to find out what's what, and you're going to see what's logical. And I hope that they give the first shots to the healthcare people. Doesn't that make sense? All right. So there you go. That's kind of what's making the news today. Hey, what? Let's do this. I'll play an Arctic Monkeys records. Let's do that again. I'm gonna play an Arctic Monkeys record. Jeez. And then wait a minute. Hold on. And what? Wait. What? We'll tell you about the guy who invented dynamite.
Thank you.
Arctic Monkeys on the Pirate Morning Show, the Pirate Pandemic, the Pirate, you know why I'm stumbling? Because we're going to take the word pandemic out of this. The Pirate Radio Morning Show from Bleat.net Network here in Chicago at 19 after the hour here. Why are we going to do that? Because it's almost over. It's almost over. It really is. So hang on. Hang on. Perk up. Light up your life and we'll go for it. So this day... So we're going to do some science and nature stuff. Great place to start here. This is the day on which Alfred Nobel died. This is a death anniversary. We don't usually do that, but bear with me here. Anyway, Alfred Bernhard Nobel was born on October 21st of 1833 in Stockholm, Sweden. This is from onthisday.com. It was the fourth of Emmanuel and Caroline Nobel's eight children. Oh, you know the Nobels, down the street. His father was an engineer and an inventor, and he found it hard to make a living in Sweden. That changed. The father took a job manufacturing. what? Explosives! That's in St. Petersburg, Russia. And Alfred, young Alfred, aged only four, moved there with the rest of the family. So they all go to St. Petersburg to work in the explosives factory. Now, his father, now things change for Emmanuel Nobel. His father can now afford private tuition for his son, Alfred, who quickly demonstrated intellectual talents, the kind that makes some parents proud and others, it says here, raise an astonished eyebrow. In no time, Alfred mastered chemistry, which he continued to study for several years. As a teenager, he became fluent in English, French, German, and Russian, as well as his native language, Swedish. Which is, I'm just reading this, he became fluent in his native language. That's good. Well, he was smart. All right, eventually the family moved back to Sweden, where a tragic accident in 1864 had a profound effect on the then 29-year-old Alfred. Five people were killed in an explosion at the family's factory, including Alfred's younger brother, Emil. All right, shocked and deeply upset, Alfred resolved to use his knowledge of chemistry to develop a safer explosive. And 3 years later, he produced a mixture of nitroglycerin and an absorbent substance. Alfred took out patents on the new explosive, which he called dynamite. I'm sorry, dynamite. Where's that guy? He was on my show once. Dynamite. Right. Nobel continued for the rest of his life to take out money-making patents on his creations. By the time of his death, the number They risen to 355. Alfred's wealth was also considerably enhanced by his 90 armaments factories. 90 armaments factories. And he invested in oil fields along the Caspian Sea. That's right. That's right. He was 63 when he died. Died of a stroke on this day, December 10th in 1896, in San Remo, Italy. He left 94% of his total assets. That's 31 million Swedish kroner. When I was a kid, I collected coins. I was fascinated by this stuff. Anyway, 31 million Swedish kroner is equivalent to about $300 million today. This is to fund the Nobel Prizes. One of the most surprising winners in recent times was Bob Dylan, who in 2016 was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, citing other commitments. Jeez. These busy, busy rock stars. He declined to attend the traditional Nobel Prize banquet in that December. He would have received his prize along with a check for $895,000. They spell check here. This must be a UK. C-H-C-H-E-Q-U-E. But anyway, Dylan sent a thank you note saying that he was surprised to be placed in the same league as authors like Ernest Hemingway and Albert Camus. Not once have I ever had the time to ask myself, are my songs literature? This is Bob Dylan now, not Alfred Nobel, if you drifted off. Anyway, Dylan won the prize for creating new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition. A small private ceremony in Stockholm 6 months later was where Dylan actually showed up. Now, who else won the Nobel? Let's see here. 1906, U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt was the first American to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. I think that had to do with settling the war between Russia and Japan. Yeah. And then my president, 44, Barack Hussein Obama, was given the Nobel Peace Prize in October of 2009 for his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. That's right. It all came from dynamite. All right, come on, one more time. Indulge me.
Thank you. was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He stands like a statue, becomes part of the machine. Feeling all the bumpers, always playing clean. Plays by intuition, the digit counts as far. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He's a pinball wizard, there has to be a twist. A pinball wizard's got such a supple wrist.
How do you think he does
I
it?
Don't know.
What makes him so good?
Ain't got no distractions, can't hear no buzzes and bells. Don't see no lights are flashing, plays by sense of smell. Always gets a replay. Never seen him fall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Pinball Wizard, big song from the Tommy album and the rock opera of that name, and it's The Who. Welcome, morning, hello, buenos dias. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio from Chicago at, let's see here, we've got a half hour, actually a half past the hour exactly here this morning. This is the 10th of December. You know, numbers kind of fascinated me. I was thinking today, so again, it's the 10th that we're into double digits. Next time we're into single digits, it'll be January of next year. So the, I don't know, I was thinking about that. You know, I have spent a lot of my life just rushing, got to get this done and that done. And you know, I think that that's generally a bad idea. We wind up missing our own lives. And people tell us to be mindful. And I think that's almost always good advice. However, having said all that, this is a year when, God forgive us, we want it to be over. We do. So, and it is almost over. Coming up, well, gee whiz, we're into the holiday season here. We are. How about this? Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts at sundown tonight. Should we, maybe you celebrate it, which means you know about it. Maybe you don't know about it. And here we go. Hanukkah, as I remember, you celebrate Jewish holidays. Hanukkah's next week, yeah? Thursday. I just looked it up. And it's interestingly enough, most of the Christian holidays that I grew up with, you can't explain at all. They're all unintelligible. But Hanukkah's pretty easy because it's the length of time that the oil lasted. So that starts
right. Any time we can get a deal like that, pay for a day, get it for 8 days, we're happy.
So now, should I be sending you a Hanukkah gift? Should I put you on my?
You know what? It's really a made up. Part of the holiday, the gifts were real token gifts, not really much. There's a gambling game played with the dreidel, but as we became Americanized and assimilated to the Western society, the parents decided that they would give gifts to emulate the Christmas season. So they got bigger and more involved in things like that.
So, but in fact, the on the Jewish calendar, Hanukkah is not a very big deal. It's not one of the high holidays.
No, it's not a holy day. It's a day of remembrance and joyousness and things like that. Just like Sukkot, which is the harvest holiday, or Purim, or something like that. But the most important Jewish holiday is actually the Sabbath. It happens 52 or 53 times a year.
There you go.
There's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go. Put on your yarmulke. Comes Hanukkah, so much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. Don't need deck the halls or jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish. Not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not. But guess who is? All three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Hope I get a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really wanna go, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
There was a
love that song. That is Alanis Morissette. It's called A Blaze. Reportedly written for her children from her most recent album here on Pandemic Pirate Radio for maybe just a few more weeks. We'll call it Pandemic Pirate. And then we'll just call it Pirate Radio. And then we'll just call it radio and we'll be back to normal. So it is 19 before the hour. It's Gary Lee right here. Thanks for joining us and thanks for letting me know what's happening in your world and in your life and in your head. RadioAnything@gmail.com and 844-220-3300, our toll-free voicemail. So let's invite you to join us here. Boy, there's a lot going on today. We have the stuff in history here. You ever seen the movie Wise Guy? I'm sure you have. I forget that was part of that. I think that whole thing actually was based on a real memoir. And this day in 1978, nearly $6 million in cash and jewels stolen from the air cargo building of the German airline Lufthansa at JFK International Airport in New York. That heist was the largest ever cash theft in the United States. And I think that's a plot line in Wise Guy, is it not? Robert De Niro? They all do the thing, and De Niro tells him, so keep this all to yourself. They all go out and buy fur coats for their wives and stuff. Anyway, the real part of that story, and I think the whole thing was a true memoir, 1978. Let's see here. And then we heard, this is called Back Announcing in Radio. We heard Alanis Morissette, and before that we heard Adam Sandler with a really funny thing from Saturday Night Live, the Hanukkah song. And my close personal friend, Al Katz, talking about Hanukkah. And we wish you a happy Hanukkah. It's the first night starting at sundown tonight. So, I said that we would do science and technology or science and nature today. You know, I got a note from Natasha, our producer. I find this fascinating. I will start by saying that. It's called Plant Wave. Plant Wave, it's one word, big PBW. And Plant Wave, I have no way of knowing whether this is true or not. We have no financial investment in this. I'm going to play it and let you make up your own mind. Plant Wave detects slight electrical variations in a plant via two electrodes placed on the leaves. I'll tell you what, unless this is, and we don't know yet, my mother always said, don't use only in a phrase involving a price. I'm sure that this is only something that ends in 95. I don't know what it is. Anyway, if it's not exorbitant, I'm gonna see if we can get this. We have a plant actually in the office. I'm looking from where I sit through the window where the birds hang out. There is a plant, kind of a, I don't know, I guess it's called a tree. there are areas of my education that are a little bit spotty. I think it's a tree. Yeah, it's tall. Yeah, is that a tree? That's a tree. Right, anyway, so we have the wherewithal to experiment with plants. So the idea, they put the electrodes on the leaves. These variations in the, I'm assuming frequency or something, translate into pitch messages that play musical instruments designed by the Plant Wave team. What? The result is a continuous stream of pleasing music that gives you a sonic window into the secret life of plants. Do you want to be the one that said, I heard it here first? Here we go.
You know how it feels to go on a hike or be surrounded by nature. You come out more relaxed, refreshed, and energized. Our vision is to deliver the feeling of being immersed in a forest through music. We call this experience Plant Wave. With Plant Wave, your phone becomes a way for you to connect to nature rather than feeling separate from it. Plant Wave turns a plant's biorhythms into music. Just attach two sensors to a plant's leaves, and PlantWave connects wirelessly to an iOS or Android device running our app. The app has instruments we've built for plants to play. PlantWave detects slight electrical variations in a plant. These variations are graphed as a wave, which we translate into pitch messages that play instruments designed by our team. Other characteristics of the wave are translated into messages that change the textural qualities of those sounds. The result is a continuous stream of pleasing music that gives you a sonic window into the secret life of plants. Over the last 7 years, we've received tremendous support from artists and musicians around the world after we brought to market MIDI Sprout, the world's first device that allowed creatives to make music with their plants. While that product was an amazing innovation, it was designed to be used with pro music equipment and required extra cabling. With PlantWave, you'll be able to wirelessly connect from your plant to your phone, making it easier than ever to tune into nature's song. Our current users report feeling more relaxed, connected, and inspired after listening to plants. They're listening in their home, garden, in nature. They're using plant music to enhance meditation, relaxation, and even focus.
How about it? How about it? Are you ready? I definitely am. You in the back?
I'm ready! I'm ready.
I'm ready for some music. Well, there's a button that didn't work. Hang on, wait a minute, don't hang up. Well, before the hour here, it's Pandemic Pirate Radio here from Chicago. It's Pleat.network on a Thursday, the 10th of December, and we're going to wrap it up tomorrow. Lots of fun on Fridays. We've been doing this kind of, I hate the word tradition. It makes it sound like everybody's going, really? You have a fruitcake again? How nice. Anyway, we're going to try to have new traditions, and one of them is a Friday. What do we call it? The Friday game show, I think. The Friday game show. So we'll have some opportunities to play along and hear along. And tomorrow, I think we're going to have Kerry Leiterson, I think, is going to join us. Not as our game show contestant. She's a journalist of some experience. We'll have her on tomorrow. And golly, I almost said God knows what. And golly, I don't know what else. So we hope that you join us for that tomorrow. Let's see here. Today, you know, this is interesting. I'm gonna let you look behind the wizard's curtain here. Who's the least Who's the comedian in America we don't play anymore? In the back, Bill Cosby. That's right. Yeah, we don't play him anymore for lots of obvious reasons here. But what about the people that worked with Bill Cosby? We stop playing all that stuff? Because today is Raven Symone's birthday, who was on The Cosby Show, who played Olivia Kendall. And you got to wade through Bill Cosby to hear her, so let's do it. All right, she has a birthday today. She's born on this day. Wow. No, you're kidding. She's 35? Oh, my goodness. All right. Raven is, she's 35. Here she was.
Everybody knows that the stork brings the baby.
Who told you that?
My daddy.
Okay. Well, the stork puts the baby inside of the mother, and then I go in and I take it out.
The stork brings the baby to the hospital, drops it in the bassinet.
So you're saying that the baby is not inside the mommy? Then why is it that the mother gets real big?
Because she eats a lot of food.
Now let me get this straight. You say that the stork carries over, puts the baby in the bassinet, and the mother is real big because she eats a lot of food.
You got it.
I see. Well, then why is it that the mother has to go to the hospital?
The stork brings the baby to the hospital, drops it in the bassinet, the mommy goes to the hospital and gets it.
If the stork does all that, why doesn't the stork just bring it to the mommy's house?
Because it's too far, his wings will get tired.
Where does the stork get the babies from?
Heaven.
Okay. There's a zillion skillion babies in heaven. How does the stork know what baby goes with what mother?
They're all in the line. You know, like you go to the baker and get a number?
Do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door? With a thousand million questions about hate and death and war. Because when we stop and look around us, there is nothing that we need. In a world of persecution that is burning in its greed. Tell me what will be. And when you stop and think about it, you won't believe it's true that all the love you
you've been giving has all been meant for you. I'm looking for someone to change. Lies a land I once lived in, and she's waiting there for me. But in the gray of the morning, my mind becomes confused between the dead and the sleeping and the road that I must choose. I'm looking for someone to change. I'm looking for a miracle in my life, and if you could see what it's done to me, to lose the love I knew could safely lead me to the land that I once knew. The learn as we grow the secrets of our soul. Not the way that you say it when you do those things to me. It's more the way you really mean it when you tell me what will be.
Moody Blues. The question. Boy, the best answers are the ones that bring up more questions. Thus endeth our Thursday on the science front. To summarize, Plant Wave and Alfred Nobel. We were at the Grand Canyon, and I made a new friend. There he is. Maybe not. There he is. Are you, wait a minute, are you ready? Hang on. Okay, all right. Too many buttons in my life. For Natasha Rodriguez. See you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. Watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself,